Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here again with the returning...
Chris!
He's back!
Hey!
And...
Dan.
Lee.
Right, we've got TT out of the way. That was fun. Fantastic Le Mans this weekend. There was some great MotoGP action. I suppose we better talk about Formula 1, haven't we?
Why not?
Ah, yeah. Good to go. Right, what's first on the running order? Le Mans!
Le Mans. Absolutely, Le Mans. Purely because Nico Hülkenberg won Le Mans, essentially. He won a race.
In fact, he got a podium.
There was a headline before that said the greatest win ever for Nico Hülkenberg. How about just a win for Nico Hülkenberg? That's good enough.
The last time he went up steps, he had to go to the toilet.
Or to the steward's office. He went to see Charlie Whiting after running somebody off the track. But no, it's raised a load of questions, actually, having Nico Hülkenberg as the winner of Le Mans, with obviously Mark Webber going to World Endurance and doing extremely well, and rumours that Button was going to go and then didn't, stayed at McLaren. Looks like a terrible move now. But where does this leave Nico Hülkenberg in Formula 1? I think it's he has to, for his own sanity and success, he has to go. He has to try something in World Endurance or, you know, LMP1, something similar to this, where, you know, he knows that he's got the ability and he'll instantly have the car. And is it going to make other drivers start looking over their shoulders and thinking, you know what, Formula 1's on its arse? Why don't we just give it...
Formula 1 is not on its arse.
We'll come to that later, Dan.
I can see it happening, though. Especially the way Formula 1's so governed by engines at the minute. And, you know, if it keeps going in that direction, uh-huh, where you've essentially got very little chance of winning a race if you're in a privateer team, then maybe the likes of... especially like Jensen Alonso are in a special case because they're two very good drivers in a terrible car at the minute. I don't think you get very good odds if you put a tenner on the fact that Alonso would be thinking about going to World Endurance Championship next year if he can get out of his McLaren contract.
No, I think he'd in case of Alonso, I think he's probably going to stay.
Do you think so?
Apparently, yeah.
No, it's got to be more uncomfortable to drive for sort of 2-3 hour stints with a beard than it is to do an hour and three quarters.
Yeah.
But found it strange.
Or 15 minutes.
I found it strange that he tweeted from Le Mans saying it was the World Endurance Championship has seems to remember something that Formula One's forgotten. And I just find it weird that he would tweet that out of the blue with nothing else, you know, nothing else surrounding it or anything.
No, that cattle prod to his back.
It just says to me that that's a man that's not happy with not happy with the situation he's in.
Of course he's not happy with the situation he's in. He's a world championship driver in a car that's not even fighting for points at the moment.
But let's not forget, a few podcasts ago, I was talking about Alonso, and I still stand by this, that the year Vettel beat him to the championship, and I don't think you were with us then, and Alonso was looking down the pit lane and looking at Vettel celebrating. I think it was when he bowed in front of his car that year.
Yeah.
And Alonso hasn't been the same driver since that year, since he should have won the world championship, but he should have done, because Vettel crashed on the first corner, was last. The way, you know, that should have been Alonso's championship there.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's been the same Alonso since then. And so I can see him just throwing the towel in with Formula 1 and going to be competitive somewhere just to be competitive.
Fair enough.
Interesting point. That's kind of silenced everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were some interesting tweets as well thrown about, not at Nico Hülkenberg, but at Force India. Basically saying, you've obviously got the driver, what's wrong with your car? You know?
Short answer, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. But you know, Vijay Mallya was actually at Le Mans as well to cheer on Nico Hülkenberg, and apparently he quite likes the idea of GT car racing, which means, are we going to get a Mallya-based team
probably
in LMP1 or something? Are they going to pull out of Formula 1 and go for something a bit more sustainable?
Force India went for a very brave development plan this year, though, didn't they?
Well, no.
They didn't. Yeah.
but some drivers suit certain styles of driving, which come from different cars.
Yeah.
better than they suit other styles of driving. And it's quite possible that Nico Hülkenberg is a great GT driver and not quite up there as a Formula One driver.
I think there's an argument to be made, though, that it, as long as it's track racing, it doesn't really transfer with, say, rally. Well, it transfers pretty badly with rally, as we've seen. If you get a ex-Formula One driver or a current Formula One driver going into one of the like lower formulas or lower racing series, they always do well.
Mm.
You know, it's, look at Indy or even World Endurance. Look at Mark Webber going to World Endurance.
That's it, yeah.
Although Formula E, all right, there's always got to be an exception. There's that many ex-Formula One drivers there. Somebody's got to come last.
Yeah. I don't class Formula E as the same thing, though. It's not like a premier class circuit race, though.
No, it's all about saving energy and saving tyres, so it's more or less what Formula One wants to turn into.
But the drivers in Formula E don't know that. They were in Formula One when it got to this stage.
That'll explain it.
Formula E is still in its infancy. It's a fledgling sport. It's coming towards the end of its first season, which is split over 2 years. And
that's ridiculous.
That is a bit silly, but they should do annual seasons in my very humble opinion.
I have no idea why they didn't hook up with the FIA and run it next to Formula One. Try down that road. Why they had to try?
Because they don't want it to be a rivals formula just yet.
But I don't think. Yeah,
and don't forget, in the words of Bernie, it's there to save the planet so that F1 can get on with the show.
To be fair,
really,
he said that in the Ted Kravitz interview.
Oh dear, no, I missed that bit. But Formula E is not there yet. It's got
personally, I love it.
It's on its way.
Somebody's got to, Dan, and I'm glad you're happy.
I always take the contrary approach, don't I?
No, you don't.
I watched the first, 4 or 5 races, and I quite enjoyed them, but...
There's been some great moments in Formula E.
Half the battle was, they're so bad at advertising themselves.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of times I've missed, like, Formula E...
Can I just point something out here, going a little bit historical, as I have a tendency to do?
Yeah, please do.
This website and this podcast actually came together from a conversation on Facebook that me and Chris were having during the first Formula E race.
Yeah,
and the first article on the website was actually about Formula E.
It was about Formula E, yeah.
Silent but deadly.
Yes, absolutely. Go and have a look and read it if you wish. It was nothing to do with flatulence. But yeah, for Formula E, it does provide excitement. It's not quite on the same scale as Formula One yet. But then many people argue that there are other forms of motorsport that do provide more excitement than Formula One.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a great number of options for drivers to look at. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nico Hülkenberg, maybe even Force India, were not a Formula One team in the next couple of years and were in GT racing of some description.
So we've got Hülkenberg, possibly entirety of Force India.
Yeah.
We've got maybe Button and Alonso. Any others that you think will be defecting?
Well, that's a good question. Paul de Resta, even though he's not been in Formula One for a while, he went back to German touring cars. He seems to be showing a huge interest in World Endurance at the moment. But yeah, actual current Formula One drivers who might make a switch, I'm not sure.
I think he was touting his wares to Haas, wasn't he, at the Canadian Grand Prix?
Paul de Resta.
Yeah.
I would like to think about he was a decent Formula One driver.
Mm-hmm. He's better than a lot of people on the grid right now.
He was solid. You know what I mean? He was safety first, without being too Max Chilton,
mm-hmm.
and then speed afterwards.
He's saying that he wasn't safety first when he started. He went through more front wings than Pastor Maldonado.
And he is actually also responsible for Sebastian Vettel's championship, as you were just saying about in Brazil. Had he not plowed it into the wall, there would not have been a safety car, and he may not have won the world championship. So, yeah.
Now, McLaren have had a nose job apparently ahead of Austria this weekend.
Which one?
The car.
Oh, the car?
The car.
Nothing wrong with Fernando or
Nothing
Jensen's
wrong with Fernando nose. Or Jensen's hooters.
There must be a cutting it off to spite your face.
there's got to be something in there somewhere. Apparently they are going to turn up in Austria with a shorter nose.
I think they're going to turn up in Austria and come up short.
Oh!
Is Eric Boullier turning up to Austria with a shorter nose after Ron Dennis has punched him in the face?
If Ron Dennis isn't going to, I will gladly put my best fist forward.
I can hear that McLaren accreditation slipping away from us as we speak.
So, you know, we'll have the McLaren accreditation a lot longer than Eric Boullier will.
Oh dear.
But what do you think the shorter nose will achieve apart from making the car a little bit shorter?
Which I mentioned this just before, they should be looking to have a longer nose so that they're actually further out in front than they could be.
It'd take longer to overtake them.
Yeah. You know, like when we've had this conversation with bicyclists, yes, in a row or next to each other.
Maybe the concern that now Grosjean's back to his old tricks, they've shortened the nose so there's less chance of him running over the front end.
Yeah.
Chance of them being on the same piece of tarmac.
When he's lapping them.
Well, yes.
Yeah, he was lapping Will Stevens.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. This is quite right. So Romain Grosjean can't come on the radio and say he's hit me after he runs over there from me.
I did not hit him.
You did that one last week.
I did that one last week. It was so good.
The last person to be that guilty and deny it was O.J. Simpson.
Ooh.
Where are we?
McLaren short nose league.
Let's hope it's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, because let's be honest, I don't think the problem is with the front of the car.
No, maybe they should have been working on the back end.
Yeah, you know, where the power comes from.
Or doesn't
come from.
Do you know what? It's...
Allegedly still 80, not 100 anymore, 80 horsepower down on Mercedes.
I don't know. Realistically, when you consider the... I know we spoke about this last week, so we're sort of treading over old ground, but you weren't here.
No, but please reiterate.
So we are effectively lapping Chris.
Well, yeah. Like we were quite supportive at first, weren't we, of the old McLaren situation?
I still am.
Well, we were using the quote of might not win the first race, but might win the last quite a lot.
Yeah,
if I rightly.
That's not going to happen.
But if
might not win the first race, might finish the last.
Yeah. But if when you consider that they've used engine tokens now, which appear to do absolutely piss all.
Well, this is a power circuit they're coming up to as well. It's an engine power.
Yeah, it's a Red Bull ring, so it's extreme power to the max.
It is absolutely extreme power to the max. As much caffeine as you could possibly intake without shaking.
Everybody ready for some racing?
Yeah! Just wait till Travis Pastrana comes along and puts in the ramps. Maldonado wins again. But no, getting back on the subject, I mean, I don't think this McLaren, if they're changing the nose... they're going to have to change something structurally about the front wing, whether it's only just the pillars where the front wing is attached to the nose, or if they, you know, completely redesign the front wing.
Well, it'll have to be a whole front wing assembly, won't it?
Because if it's shorter, it's going to be closer to the wheels, and it's already quite close to the wheels as it is.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be, they
have one of the bigger front wings on the grid.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you know, stacked up with you see the front wings now. If you get close ups of them on the television, they're towered, aren't they? They stack wings upon, you know. And this is why it's difficult for cars to follow other cars. But McLaren don't have that problem at the moment.
Well, they do find it difficult to follow the other cars.
Yeah. But don't forget, they are at the Red Bull circuit, and they give you wings. I'm so sorry.
Oh dear. Oh dear, Paul.
moving swiftly on, leaping ahead actually, Williams have got some upgrades coming for Austria as well.
Yeah.
But they've been a bit cagey and not saying what they are. What do we think they're going to have?
Engine-wise, they kind of have to have the same that Mercedes have got, don't they? Which they
can't do a lot there.
No, they did their tokens in Canada. I don't think there are any more engine upgrades coming, so that rules that bit out.
Mercedes have an upgrade in Canada?
It's got to be aero package, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's got to be aero package, and I can't see that it's going to be much else other than that.
Yeah,
front wing.
They're lacking downforce, aren't they? We saw that in Monaco where they were.
That was their main problem because the car just wasn't sticking to the track.
Yeah.
And slides around quite a lot as well.
Yeah. Not as much of an issue because Austria is a fairly fast circuit.
Yeah, but it's got quite a lot of medium high speed corners, hasn't it? So I'd imagine that downforce would be pretty key for some of those.
You would probably think so. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with, because obviously they've got a little bit of momentum, and what they're saying is, while they're not revealing what everything they're upgrading is, it will bring them closer to Ferrari.
Which is...
bluster.
Is it a backhanded compliment, that? Not a backhanded compliment, like, it's almost like, yeah, we're awesome, but not quite as awesome as we should be.
Yeah.
It's almost like a backhanded compliment to the factory.
Yeah.
As in, like, it'll bring us closer to Ferrari. You know, that team we were supposed to be ahead of.
Closer to being second best.
I still think that's it.
Why not closer to Mercedes? That's where they should be aiming.
Williams are going to slowly do what everything else in the world does and slowly prove me right. And, because I said at the beginning of the season that they were flattered last year.
And that's being proven.
Yeah, and this year they're being flattered still by the cars that are behind. I know there's going to be people, Williams fans, going, yeah, but they've obviously done a better job, so how can you say they're flattered? But when you've got the likes of Red Bull and McLaren, which aren't going to be there forever.
Toro Rosso.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wouldn't...
But only just behind Williams.
Yeah, only just. But I wouldn't, you know, you can't say that McLaren and Red Bull are going to be where they are forever. You know, they will overtake Williams again. And Williams will stay in the same place, but they'll just be a couple, four cars behind again.
I think with the Mercedes engines, realistically, Williams should be further forward than where they are. They've just done a hand signal, which doesn't translate on the podcast. No.
But they should be doing better than one, Ferrari, and two, what they are at the minute.
Yeah. But I mean, look at Lotus, the improvement they've made with having Mercedes power rather than the Renault power that they had last year. They come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah, the Dodge double it there, which is unusual for a Lotus to dodge something this season.
It is, absolutely. Other Lotus-related news. Is it starting in Austria or is it after Austria?
It's now, yeah.
It's from Austria. Jolyon Palmer gets to take place in all P1 sessions for
He's going to have a seat
for the remaining Europe, is it? For the remainder of Europe?
No, remember the season.
Remainder of the season.
Yeah. He will be in the car next season, There will be two very nervous drivers looking over their shoulders, and
one being Pasta, the other being Roman.
Mm.
The other being anyone in front of Pasta.
Well, he drives like he's looking over his shoulder anyway, so
it's a shame, isn't it? That
stay way. Tuned for the Pasta disaster predictor coming later.
It should be an when you're looking at drivers between like Pasta Maldonado and Roman Grosjean, and who's going to replace one of them. It should be a talent scout that's looking at it, where I fear it's probably an accountant.
Formula E World Champion 2016, Romain Grosjean.
I could see him in Formula E. I mean, then again, I suppose there's a few Formula 1 drivers on the grid. We can't say that any Formula 1 driver or any current Formula 1 driver instantly, when they get sick of Formula 1, has a free pass to World Endurance. It's got to be like... Yeah, I'd imagine Pastor Maldonado would struggle to get a World Endurance Championship drive.
Well, we don't know how long he can drive for. 15 minutes.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, yeah, when you think about it, I've been saying lap one, turn one.
Yeah.
He's not going to do 24 hours, is he? Unless his stint was a lap. He did one lap and then came in and they stuck somebody else in for 59.
That's it. It's the only way he managed to do it.
And now onto the feature that we hate doing every week, but as it always crops up in the news, Renault.
Boring. This has been going on since podcast one.
Yes, but they've made a decision now, sort of. They've decided that at the end of the year they're going to decide.
So they've decided about deciding?
Yes.
Contemplating, deciding about thinking things.
Yeah, they're pondering when to contemplate the decision.
Oh, good Lord.
So Ren in or Ren out? Which one?
Hey! But I think that does kind of raise interesting questions. If they do go, then that leaves us with Mercedes engines, Ferrari engines, or Honda. If you were one of the current Renault-powered teams, which one of those would you go for?
I would be crawling on my knees around Gerhard Berger's feet saying, please talk to your boss.
Well, Honda have said that they are exclusively working with McLaren and do not plan to work with any other Formula 1 teams.
I would imagine that many Formula 1 teams think, maybe we won't go with Honda quite yet.
Yeah, that's also a good point. But it's worth pointing out that Renault's contract to supply engines to Formula 1 teams is to the end of 2016, although they do have to give quite a long period of notice if they decide to quit the sport. Mm.
Do they not have a Fernando clause then?
I don't think they do. I don't think it's written in that they can just walk off whenever they feel like it.
I think it might well be a case of, here's lots of money, we're bored now.
Yeah, see you later.
Is it something to do with the Concorde Agreement, and isn't that up in like 2018?
2020, that one comes
2020?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be it then, won't it?
Well, no, the engine manufacturers aren't part of the Concorde Agreement.
Oh,
it's, no, it's just the only engine manufacturer that is Ferrari, because it's team
owned.
It's
a team,
yeah.
Well, so, Mercedes, obviously.
And Mercedes, yes.
And,
But, no, Renault aren't actually part of the agreement, and they are purely a supplier now because they are not a team owner. All Renault's bargaining power through the Concorde Agreement passed on to the owners of Lotus when they sold their majority stake in the team to Genie Capital.
But don't they still have a stake in Lotus somewhere?
Only 10%. They're only a minority shareholder,
right.
So they can't really force anyone's hand.
Yeah.
Which...
what's Romain Grosjean doing there?
Bringing lots of sponsorship from...
Total.
Yeah, he is part of the money,
yeah.
As well as being part of the problem. But what are they going to do? Because the latest thing is we are going to make a decision on what we're going to do: either pull out, buy a team, or carry on as we are.
Yeah,
I mean, when it comes to being vague, they might be being vague about it, but they're not sure.
They've been very French about it, haven't they?
They've been very French about it, and I bet if I'd said that, you'd have said it was racist.
No, not at all. Because what they've done is they've met in the morning and they've decided that they need to do something. They either need to do plan A, plan B, or plan C,
or something different.
Let's have lunch.
Until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have lunch. And then the next day, what did we discuss yesterday? I can't remember. Let's start again.
As Eric Villiers sits and remembers those lunches, and I miss those days.
Yeah, instead of looking at his one cornflake that he gets for breakfast at McLaren, who provides all the nutritional...
However, it's a massively underpowered one. No.
Oh, come on, Ron, give me two. I'm starving by lunch.
It's 80 calories down on the cornflakes that they're saving.
But there is a cornflake upgrade coming soon.
We're going whole grain.
Oh, bran flakes.
Oh dear, it's gone horribly wrong.
But yeah, Renault, please just... Right, you've said when you're going to make a decision, you've said when you're going to announce it. Can we now...
Move on.
We are putting this appeal out. Can we now please have a few months of podcasts without having to discuss what Renault are going to do?
Have lunch.
I know where it is. I know why they're constantly with the quick threats and constantly with the talky talk. Is because I don't think they will quit. I mean, it's just come to me then when you were talking. But because they're not as bad as Honda, and they don't come across as being as important as Red Bull, who are having a bad time, who still get spoken about. So if Renault don't make themselves headlines, they will just be completely forgotten at the minute.
Yeah,
and if Renault was quiet, there'd be no talk of Renault.
Apart from Red Bull coming out and saying Renault were useless.
Yeah,
I suppose that they have to answer because they've got Red Bull spouting off about how bad Renault are.
It gives
them right to reply.
Defending Renault there, it's a bit of a shame because, you know, they have helped them win four world championships.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it's not right that they should be coming out and being as critical as they are. I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously they're upset. But, you know, it's not...
I think this could be a bluff, you know. I think this could be one of those things that they put out a statement, we're going to make a decision on whether we're going to quit or not at the end of this year. Just to see if anyone turns around and goes, no, please don't go.
It's sort of lovely to see if they can get some more power when it comes to making the rules.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And if...
Well, I think Bernie should call that bluff and say, yeah, I'm thinking of quitting at the end of the year too, but I might not.
Yeah, which...
Oh, the latter tactic.
Yeah.
you set flatter in, you set blatter out.
Oh, dear. But now, does it open the door for another engine manufacturer to join the sport if Renault do sod off at the end of 2016?
Well, going on what happened at Le Mans, I hope to God it's not Nissan.
Welcome back, Max Chilton.
Yeah, I mean, there's Audi hanging over there again, and
Audi are going to come into Formula 1. That is going to happen, I'm convinced.
I'd like to see BMW back, because they produce some decent engines.
I'd love to see what would happen if BMW had stayed in, rather than getting all cocksure of themselves buying Sauber.
Yeah.
If they'd have just stayed in with Williams when they managed to get Juan Pablo Montoya second in the championship.
Yeah, that was in the V10 era, though. Yeah. Before even the V8s.
Yeah, but I mean, if they'd have stayed in, you know, they'd have had the same. They'd have had much more development than some of the teams have got now.
We're looking at the Germans, though, aren't we? Really, we're looking at Audi and Volkswagen as sort of one entity, depending on which badge they decide to put forward. Stefano Domenicali, Stephen Sunday, is now at Audi, isn't he? And he has been for some time.
Mm.
Although his job title still hasn't really been defined.
I think his job title is, he's there.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Gerhard Berger as well is sort of involved with it, and we know that Red Bull and VW have links, as has been explored before.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be
sort of Red Bull and Nissan.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
But you could do so. You could do a great move if you were Audi. You could come in and say if you wanted to come in and have your own team.
Yeah.
You could come in by Red Bull and make that Audi Formula One. Then, and who else has got Renault?
Do you think they have that, or do you think that they
it's only Toro Rosso?
It's only Toro Rosso. So then you supply Toro Rosso with Audi engines, and then rebadge them Toro Rosso VW, and then you've got your marquee team, which is your team.
Do you think they would have the power to buy a team as big as Red Bull, or do you think they would just become an engine supplier? I personally think they would start out as an engine supplier.
I think it depends very much on whether Red Bull are getting what they want out of Formula One.
Which is what I think they'd have to test the water with if Audi, VW, BMW, Porsche, delete as appropriate, became an engine supplier in Formula One. That I wouldn't see them selling out the entire team instantly.
I think the lines would be blurred. I think you'd have an Audi F1, which would be the Audi Formula One team, which was heavily sponsored by Red Bull.
And the same team still there.
I think Toro Rosso would be ideal for that, because don't forget Berger used to run that team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, but I mean, if they're the same team, so if Audi are going to come in, they're going to come into both those teams essentially.
Oh right, just basically replace Red Bull in the organisation.
Yeah.
Red Bull revert to being a sponsor.
But you could run. They could run
Toro Rosso VW.
Toro Rosso is a VW. So they're essentially building the same engine and getting twice the exposure for it.
Yeah.
Volkswagen are renowned for being, in the terms of road cars, a company that is excellent at efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And actually coined the term this blue. If everybody was used to being green, you know, is your car green? Is your Toyota Prius green? And then all of a sudden everything's blue. Everyone's got blue tech. And
yeah.
This all,
Chris, your 80s Ford Cortina outside is blue.
But it's not blue tech. Trust me.
It's blue.
Bluetooth.
I
don't have any blue teeth. But, yeah, all this blue technology actually stemmed from Volkswagen, and they have always been at the forefront of efficient engines. So I don't see why. There's nothing to stop them going into Formula 1 with the way that Formula 1 is at the moment being hybrid. It's perfect for Volkswagen as, you know, to promote their road car brand at the same time.
All I can think of now is the fact that Smurfs build VWs.
I'm never buying one.
All jokes aside, though, F1's been getting a bit of a slating in the press of late, and you're getting various news organisations coming down hard on it. Is it the worst season ever? Is it the worst time for F1? Is it dying on its backside?
News organisations, former drivers, the occasional annoyed Spanish current driver.
Yeah.
Journalists who are former F1 drivers.
Yeah. Basically everyone. I know we have picked apart the occasional thing here, but not to that extent.
Yeah. This has been really, really winding me up for the past half a season, really. We've spoken about how the quiet engines got slated by the journalists when it's just a distraction from the sport. But the current level of my God, the sky's falling, that the journalists, especially one national broadcaster, it seems to be, the level of...
Broadcasters are available.
A British national broadcaster.
Yeah. And
like a corporation.
Yeah. A British corporation that broadcasts.
Broadcasting Corporation.
Something like that. One of the British broadcasting corporations that cover the Formula One seem to have a massive, massive downer on it at the moment, and I don't quite understand why. Last week, we sat round here before recording the podcast, and we were watching the 1990 Mexican Grand Prix, and we asked ourselves, as a collective podcasting team, is this a significantly better Grand Prix to watch than the Canada Grand Prix that was the week before and has caused the most current controversy? And the answer was clearly no. They're both...
Similar
races. They were neither of them actual classics. The racing was pretty much as good in both of them. The dull bits were pretty much as dull in both of them. Someone else break into this rant.
I'm letting you do it because last week was my turn.
Daniel is furious.
It's the rose-tinted glasses effect again, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm gonna name and shame Nigel Mansell, David Coulthard, former drivers who have said, oh, it's lost a bit of the magic, it needs this, it needs that. Oh, F1 cars are slower than they were this time, you know, 3 years ago, whatever. You know, lambasting the sport whilst looking back at their day with rose-tinted spectacles, because when they got in the car, as they remember it, it was a lot more intense and exciting.
Nicky Lauda as well. Real men should be driving.
And not monkeys.
Before he says that.
I thought Nicky Lauda was a rat, not a monkey.
Well, yeah, that's what he used to get called.
Do you think there's a case of, we know there's last massive change, oh, well, I've killed Flood.
I'm fine, carry on.
There's massive changes coming in 2017, we know that, no matter what happens, whether the cars are going to look like they're F-Zero and, look crazy futuristic, doesn't matter. We know there's massive changes coming in 2017. Do you think there's a case to be made whether you've got people berating the sport because they know there's a power play to be made? So if they belittle the sport and break it down to where people are moaning, somebody, Max Mosley, I think, is putting himself in a prime position to do that, can come forward with the answers.
Well, to be honest, as far as Nigel Mansell goes, that guy wouldn't actually know what a smile was if it came up and bit him on the backside.
No, I asked him for his opinion on, because after the comments that he's made, both on the BBC website and also on Sky Sports News. I asked him through the medium of Twitter, social media, and he chose not to respond or didn't see my questions asking him.
He was promoting his...
Nigel Mansell did not respond to requests for comments before show went out.
Exactly.
In that case, I think it's safe to say that, I mean, Nigel Mansell was on Sky last week plugging the fact that he's just joined the Magic Circle and he's doing the biggest trick possible just by disappearing up his own back end at the minute.
At the moment, yeah. And to be quite honest with you, he's a racing hero of mine, but he's annoyed me how he's standing up, in inverted commas, for the fans and saying
I think Lee's right. This is GP politics.
It could well be, yeah. It's somebody or people preparing to take over from Bernie as well.
See, there is some...
That's what I think it is.
There's something to say here about what the comments like Nigel in particular, because the only thing he talks about is he'll either say how bad Formula One is at the minute or how good Lewis Hamilton is.
Yeah.
So he needs to make his bloody mind up, really, doesn't he? You know, is there a problem with the formula? Are people not trying hard enough for the cars to be easy to drive?
And David Coulthard,
how can Lewis Hamilton be Jeebus if formula's rubbish?
I don't agree with you there, because if we go back to when Schumacher was dominating, the sport was dull to watch at that time.
Get me wrong.
And Schumacher was a genius. I would say then... There were problems, major, major problems with the sport, far more than there are now.
Oh, yeah, much, much more.
And Schumacher was great. Don't
say it, baby. If Michael Schumacher had, like, a couple less victories, one less championship. The problem is, we wouldn't be talking about Michael Schumacher, the villain. We'd probably be remembering him as one of the greatest sportsmen of all time.
No, he was a villain when he didn't have many championships. It's things like taking your penalty after the race has ended.
No, that's what I mean. Like a couple less wins and one less championship, like where he cheated Damon Hill out of. He'd have one less world championship. What championship?
We got one less world championship than he wanted when he took Villeneuve out.
Yeah,
well, it's true.
Thank you for saving us.
But that there is the best piece of Formula One commentary ever. Is when Martin Brundle turned around and said, "No, Michael, you've got it wrong this time.
You hit him in the wrong place, my friend." Yeah. Absolutely.
We need some good news to come back from that.
I was just going
to
say, David Coulthard, right, he's talking himself out of a job as well. He's trying to basically sit there and say, Formula One is rubbish. It was much better in my day when I was racing.
Unless the BBC are looking at the rights for World Endurance.
And David Coulthard is going to go and drive for them.
Well, I was thinking more commentate.
No, I think he wants back in the car.
Formula One is rubbish. You should all watch World Endurance on the BBC me.
If World Endurance was easier to... but this is almost the World Endurance podcast this week.
We're only up to 37 minutes.
If it was easier to watch, as in, like, Le Mans went off for 24 bloody hours...
It's called the Le Mans 24 hours.
Yeah, I realise that, but the shorter races are, 8 and 16 hours?
Yeah. That's why it's called endurance. But it would be called the World Sprint Championship if it wasn't.
That's the shortest endurance race is 3.5 hours.
About that, yeah.
The shortest ones.
But, that's fine. Yeah, you can put aside an afternoon. But it's a difficult sport to watch. Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult sport to watch. Formula One, MotoGP, you can sit down on a Sunday afternoon, you can watch
hour and a half.
Yeah, and it's done. You can move on with your life.
I'm a big fan of the Tour de France, which lasts 3 weeks. And it's 6-7 hours racing a day.
I know a couple of weirdos that like cricket, and that goes on for about 6 weeks. and then ends in a draw.
I'm a Yorkshireman. It's bred into me. I've got to like cricket.
Test cricket.
It's inbred into you.
No, that'll be Lancasterian.
Other regions are available.
But they're all don't say it, baby.
Jack, we're up though, Jack.
We're just going to need him sitting in the corner of the room, aren't we?
Just bring him here and give him a guitar.
Positive news.
Imola's in discussions about getting back on the calendar.
Hooray! Because the Italians are too busy having lunch.
Yeah, Monza. Oh, we've lost it. Monza is having contractual difficulty, so the mayor of Imola met with Bernie on Monday and looking at potential return for the for Formula One at the newly redesigned Imola circuit.
What are you saying, newly redesigned? If they stopped racing there, was it 2000? Did you say before 2006?
2006, and then they remodelled it in 2007. It's new to Formula One.
Yeah, it would be new to Formula One. I'm quite familiar with the new layout of Monza. It's not horrendously different to the old circuit. Sorry? Did I say Monza?
You said Monza.
Oh, no, I did a damn.
Do you need one of these?
start that again. I'm quite familiar with the new layout of Imola.
Can we start the whole thing again?
No, we can't. Continue, otherwise Jack will come back again. It's not horrendously different to how it was last time it was in Formula One, and I think it's a fantastic circuit. I really do. Even with the taking out a Tamburello curve for obvious reasons and putting in a chicane, hasn't actually changed that much of the circuit's atmosphere and just the spirit and the way it flows. It's just a great racing track to watch.
Any Italian Grand Prix is special, isn't it?
They
could go around the Trevi Fountain and it would still be a special race.
Yeah, even the motorcycling.
Maldonado would still brag someone.
if it's left at Bernie Ecclestone, we'll be having the Italian Grand Prix in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the other motorcycling circuits as well, Misano and Mugello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great circuits, flow brilliantly up and down hills and sort of, you know.
I'm surprised Ferrari haven't been pushing for years to have Mugello in the. As Italian's Formula One, Italy's Formula One track.
So, good thing, think so.
I think so. I'd like to see Imola back. I don't want to see Monza go because I do quite like Monza, but I understand why, because it hasn't produced brilliant races in the last few years.
They've made some monumental howlers in the past. Remember Damon Hill and the tyres?
Tonight's an easy track to get to, though. It's for fans, it'll be a shame for it to go, because a train stops right outside the...
From Milan,
the
front is that?
Door. Yeah, from Milan. Right outside the main entrance. And the other thing that struck me, I've never seen it on any other circuit that I've been to, is they've got free stands. All over the circuit in the standy bits that you don't need tickets for.
You just go in.
I thought that was great.
Just stand there.
No, it's not even go in. It's like they were put up for the TT course. It's just scaffolding.
Right.
Like scaffolding stages everywhere.
But you can just... The ones that put up for the TT course work free.
No, yeah, sorry.
Certainly not.
£50 a time to watch on senior race day?
No, thank you. No. I'll just go
and find from the worst part of the TT course.
Yeah, I'll go sit in someone's garden. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, I'd love to see Imola back. It'd be fantastic.
It would be good because, there's been some fantastic racing there in the past. Keeps another Grand Prix in Europe, which that's the current threat about. Was it another Bernieism?
European
Formula One's dead. But don't have like drive around the sport park in Baku or
which is what's happening. Is it next year or the year after?
I think it's next year because the sport park busy at the moment with the European Games.
Oh, boring.
Somebody called it on Twitter the other day the Eurovision Sports Contest.
I just don't get it. I understand he wants to take the sport where the money is, but surely I'm not that naive and that I'm that wrong to think that 70% of the audience of Formula One is European based, surely.
But if you're wanting to grow the sport and make it more worldwide, then you can't have 70% of the races in the UK. Not in the UK.
Why leave? I mean, we're on the verge of dropping so many of them, and it seems every year Silverstone has been under threat until it's signed a deal. But it's not just European races he wants to get rid of. I mean, look at Australia. You know, the amount of threat that's been under.
Yeah,
as well, and I shouldn't say about the European side of it. It just seems to be that the races that the Formula One fans, that idiots like us, sit here for like an hour or 2 hours a week talking about Formula One. It seems to be that he wants to take the races away that the fans like.
Yeah, and it's putting it where the money is, and the money is in countries that didn't even exist 25 years ago. Yeah.
Or as Dan quite rightfully put it recently, countries with horrendous human rights records.
Yes. Yeah, the Iranian Grand Prix, anyone?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's where the money is, and we'll call them the traditional races, but the races that we actually know and love. He's now pricing them out of the market because, you're only paying $25 million to host this Grand Prix every year. Absurdistan wants to pay $500 million, so you'll have to match their bid.
I want to go live in Absurdistan.
what race am I thinking of, which is a night race now?
Bahrain.
I thought it was hilarious when that became a night race, because it seemed to become a night race after the year they had where there was loads of protests outside the grounds. So it was almost like, if we have it at night...
No one will see them. Yeah, we'll light up the circuit, turn the lights off around the circuit.
Yeah.
And then no one will see the people protesting at the terrible atrocities that happen to normal civilians.
And then you've got the Crown Prince there, at every race walk around. And you think, you are an asshole. Absolute asshole.
There are also calls for a Grand Prix in Qatar sometime soon. We know how well their 2022 World Cup bid is. Well, World Cup infrastructure building is going.
But has Qatar got the money, or are they waiting for the refund from FIFA just in case? Allegedly.
I think they're waiting for the refund.
I tell you what, I think it'll be interesting. It seems to be. I know it's not really on Formula One lines, but. There seems to be a wave at the minute of seemingly ex-untouchable people
being touched.
And you just wonder whether...
Operation Neutral.
whether the people in Formula One, i.e. that little white-haired fella, you wonder whether he might be one of the untouchable people that ends up getting touched.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think that our lawyers are insisting that we play some Jacques Villeneuve at this point.
Anything can happen in Formula One, and it usually does. Back on track, it's the Austrian Grand Prix this weekend.
It is.
On track, see what I did?
Yeah, I did.
That was very clever.
That
we're
was
impressed.
An A1 joke, my friend.
Oh! To the max. Yep, the Austrian Grand Prix at the Red Bull A1 Super Gnarly Extreme to the Max Ring.
Österreich.
Österreich. Yes.
Österreich. Ding.
And it gives you wings, but you don't need much downforce. On some of it.
For most of it.
But not on other bits.
And it's been reworked, but it's almost the same as it was in the 80s.
Yeah. So, it's Mercedes again, isn't it?
It's a power circuit. It's looking like Mercedes, yeah. They showed that they've got a bit more power in the tank. They were keeping in reserve in Canada. They didn't appear to be anywhere near pushed when it came to power.
I'll be interested to see what a Sebastian Vettel can do about them.
Yeah, I would be interested to see that as well.
Let's not forget he had some troubles through that race, you know, and he still came through in the... I think he'd have been...
Main trouble was probably starting 19th or 20th.
No, but he had pit stop trouble as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah, yeah.
And if it wasn't for that, he'd have finished ahead of Kimi, I think.
Possibly.
Yeah, so...
But I mean, Red Bull are going to want a better showing than certainly last year, because, well, it's their home race.
Yeah,
well... For all four cars.
I think probably the youngsters are going to embarrass the slightly older ones.
You reckon it's Toro Rosso's...
I think it's Toro Rosso, circuit. I think... They've both got very similar engines, well, the same engine, but I just think with it being the type of circuit that it is, you'll see Sainz and Verstappen feeling very comfortable and being able to put their cars back ahead of the Red Bulls, where we were the last couple of races. Red Bull haven't been as awful as they have been.
To be honest, I think...
Although Ricciardo's 13th place in Canada was...
Awful.
Yeah.
I think the perception of Toro Rosso being ahead of Red Bull it might be a bit skewed because they've been ahead of Kvyat a lot. Because don't forget that Daniel Ricciardo's got more points than either of the Toro Rosso drivers.
Yep.
So that means he's been in front of them.
He has, times, yeah. And Danny Kvyat did very well in the Monaco Grand Prix as well, remember. Yeah. Especially
didn't have a bad race last race either.
No, he was okay, but I think that Toro Rosso's just with the way the track is, it's very I don't want to say it's like a karting track, but it's going to suit
people have been in karts more recently than others.
I wonder if either of them have driven this track.
I don't know if it's on a
of
Max
course.
Verstappen almost certainly not.
No, they're from the young Red Bull Young Drivers Programme.
Oh, the Bouncer have them. The Bouncer have tested that.
Yeah, yeah, they'll have been around something around that track.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, was Max Verstappen's first test not at the Red Bull Ring in a old Formula One car.
It would make
sense if it was.
Correct me if I am wrong, people listening. I'm sure you will. Normally do.
Swear at him.
Don't do that.
Send in random Jacques Villeneuve clips.
Yeah, we'll need more Jacques Villeneuve to cover up our terribleness. But yeah, I mean, out front it's looking more like Mercedes, Ferrari. We're still saying they're going to be second?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I think Williams have got a fighting chance.
See what their upgrades are like, shall we?
Yeah.
Also Lotus.
Yeah, if they can keep out the barriers or the backs of other people or the fronts of other people.
The problem they've got is in order to have a really good chance at Austria, you've got to be quite brave and run a low downforce setup in order to keep maximise the speed on the straight.
Maldonado is brave.
Yeah.
He will run fast and he will run low downforce and he will run into something.
And he did well.
I reckon he could well be running in third or fourth when he crashes.
I think he could be top five in qualifying because he's very good at qualifying.
Yeah.
He's just terrible at everything else. But no, I would put a Lotus somewhere high up the grid in qualifying, provided, of course, the weather sits right and the team set up the cars as I think they're going to.
I'd love to see that car with some different people in it, you know, because I don't think that's too far behind Williams, if not on pace with them.
It's proven to be so far, hasn't it? It's not.
Much more prancing when we actually see Julian Palmer get a race by the end of the season if he's going to be doing the first free practice.
It's all down to his dad, isn't it, really?
I think it's down to what Maldonado and Grosjean do over the next few races.
If they're, Grosjean reverted to type last time, Maldonado has a type.
Well, there was a. I meant to take a screenshot actually for this for the podcast, but I forgot because there was a list the other day put out of all the drivers' salaries, and it had the two Lotus drivers. Now I realised they bring sponsorship in, but they both take out 3.1 million each. So it would be interesting to see like Palmer, if they stick him in the car, he's not going to be on 3.3 million.
No,
his first season. Mary's on 50 grand a year.
Yeah, but that will come from his sponsorship.
Oh, yeah,
the sponsorship money goes into the team and then back to him.
But it doesn't make it crazy that the
someone in top flight world sport.
Someone in world sport is
earning the same as a bank manager in Swindon.
Yeah. It's like upper middle class wage.
Yeah.
It's
the bank manager in Swindon's probably got a faster car. Yeah.
he can drive a Formula One car, but he can only get a mortgage for 250 grand.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need a mortgage, though. Now they're sponsored by Airbnb, he can stay at anyone's house as often as he wants. Sauber, anonymous again?
Yeah, they have been, and they started the season extremely strongly, didn't they? But they are starting to slip back a little. Fairly anonymous race, possibly back end of the points.
We've not heard anything from Sauber about any developments at all this season, car-wise. They've been very quiet on that, which just leads me to think, shot the bolt too soon, but they had to after last year.
I don't know if they did anything before Canada or not.
I didn't see anything reported.
We've not heard of anything. Does that just mean that their PR team is asleep at the
wheel? I don't know. I mean, Manisha Kaltenbold's usually got something to say. But there's just been very little in the way of developments.
Or are they going to be one of these teams that does the mid-season upgrade, much like we're expecting Force India and Manor to do so, where it gets to the 3-week summer break, and then afterwards, all of a sudden, there's plenty of new stuff on the car.
Well, Force India approved they could do that before taking the summer break and then going mad in Belgium.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they got the first points and first front row, so yeah, it could happen. Talking of Force India, what do we think we're going to see from them? Because obviously, certain parts of the team are going to be on a bit of a high.
Yeah, is Hülkenberg going to be buoyed, do you think, by his win, or is he going to be knackered because he's been racing for an entire day? Obviously in stints, they don't do one on 24 hours.
But I think it'll be positive for Hülkenberg until something goes wrong. Even if it's not his fault, and then he'll get brought back down to earth with a bump.
Mm. I mean, the other thing you've got to remember as well is the fact that he's driving for Porsche, who are a big team in World Endurance Championship, so it's he might come back to Force India, look around, and go, all right.
Yeah, it brings us back to our earlier point.
Yeah.
Mm. Is he going to stay Formula One?
He's probably with the manufacturer the other week.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And then McLaren, new shorter nose, new shorter tempers.
It's going to be a bad weekend for them again, isn't it?
It's a power circuit and they just haven't got any.
No.
Can I just jump forward a few races? I think after Austria we've got Silverstone. And what's after Silverstone? Is it? It would have been Germany, so is it Hungary?
Yeah, I think it is.
So that means the Hungary is the next non-power circuit for them.
Yeah.
So they've got two races of complete direness towards the end of the European season, where we're expecting them to be good, and they're just not.
Mm. And how many laps down do you think Manor are going to be this week?
Six.
Yeah, I was going to say six.
Mm.
Power circuit. So yeah, I'll go for five.
No, so I'm with you on that one, Dan. I reckon five laps down.
How many will McLaren be down?
Well, will they finish is the first question.
Well, what is it? It's a 72-lap race, so I reckon Alonso will be 58, and Jensen usually gets a bit more out of his car, so 45.
If they finish, I reckon 3 for the McLarens.
Do you think fuel saving will be of an issue there? I don't know what the distance is like around it.
It's quite a shortish circuit, hence the 72 laps.
There's a lot. I
would imagine if it's high power, then they're going to be burning quite a lot of fuel.
Yeah, I think we're going to get back to the lift and coast thing again, possibly. Unless everyone's learnt from Canada and they actually stick 100 kilos of fuel in the tank and
let them
race.
Or use different words.
Yeah.
Yes, Lewis Haddock 50.
Yeah, they're not going to put more fuel in, are they? Because they can't risk being at a disadvantage of someone else. They're always going to put the amount of fuel in, which is the quickest way around the race.
Though, of course, in Canada, one of the reasons that they underfueled was everyone assumed there would be a safety car,
which of course there wasn't for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah, whereas A1 ring doesn't, Red Bull ring, whatever it's called this week, doesn't have the same. Same reputation for safety cars.
They promote more extreme racing. So if they have a safety car, it'll be an extreme safety car.
Jet.
Yeah, driven by Travis Pastrana.
The outside of turn one is the bit that interests me most about the circuit. Instead of having the gravel runoff or something easy where you can just sort of drive off on the outside if you run wide, they got those sleeping. Or they did last year anyway. Have the sleeping policeman where. If you go off and you run wide,
launch the car.
Yeah, it launches the car not just once, but a good 2 or 3 times before you get back onto the circuit. So you can't afford to run wide on that first turn, which could make the first lap extremely interesting.
Which leads us to we are going to be doing a pasta disaster predictor again this weekend.
We are indeed. Please join in. We need more entries for this.
But tweet us on @3legs4wheels, and you can join in with our pasta disaster predictor. We just want a lap and a turn.
As to when Pastor Maldonado will crash. Or retire.
I think that about covers everything that we're not going to get sued for this week.
I think he'll retire when his sponsorship runs out.
We'd like to thank Jacques Villeneuve for the drop-in censorship.
Hi, Jacques.
I would like to thank Lots of Coffee for getting me through editing this, because by the time I finish this I'll probably be getting up for work in the morning.
Morning
everyone. We shall leave you with a greeting from Toto Wolf.
How do you sleep at night?
On top of a pile of money with many beautiful ladies.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it?
Obviously, yes.
And of course I don't.
Neither do I.
Although other coffees are available.
We should probably say, since we're at the Isle of Man, well done to John McGuinness.
Yes.
For a splendid win of the Senior TT.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely massive. Fastest lap of the course, fastest Senior TT race by about 30 seconds as well. And as somebody pointed out, he's going to have to change his name on Twitter, because at the moment it's JM130, so it should be JM132.
Yeah,
he's going to have to, yeah.
So we'll be back next week looking back at Austria, which hopefully will give us plenty to talk about. And,
let's hope it's more interesting than Canada.
Let's hope it's more interesting than everything else we've seen so far this season. And of course we'll be doing a lot...
Well, calm down, Nige.
Yeah. But we like Formula 1.
That's why we're here, Paul. Come on.
I'm really sorry. I'd rather put a rabbit up my sleeve.
No, that's just
the best Mansell impression I can do.
That's just your moustache.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
Is Mansell a Brummy?
Yes.
Full on Brummy.
He hasn't got that accent, though.
You've obviously not listened to it. No, he's definitely Brummy. Well, as I was about to say, me and Chris will be live blogging the race on Sunday afternoon, so come onto the website for that. There'll be the occasional comment thrown in from Lee and Dan. All the ones that are fit to print. Both the ones that are fit to print.
And you guys can join in as well by tweeting us during the race if you see anything that we've missed.
So, same time next week.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.